Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel relies on the generosity of our listeners to sustain our Messianic synagogue. Please consider a donation to Beth Emmanuel, where Messianic Judaism is more than an idea. It's really happening.
Here is a difficult saying of our Master from the Gospel of John. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? John 5:45-47. I believe that these words are connected to our Torah portion, where it says in Exodus 14:31, Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. Let me offer some context for that statement. It occurs at the time of the crossing of the Red Sea, actually after the crossing of the Red Sea, when the children of Israel see the defeat of the Egyptian army, when the waters come crashing in and sweep them away. After they saw this miracle of the splitting of the sea and the drowning of the Egyptians, only then does it say that they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. And you have to say, what? They didn't believe in the Lord before this? They didn't believe God existed? What? They didn't believe in Moses? On the contrary, they believed in God, no question. They just saw the 10 plagues and all. And they must have believed in Moses. They believed God existed and had the power to smite Egypt. And they believed that Moses was his agent. But they did not trust Moses, nor did they trust the Lord. They were saying, didn't we tell you to leave us in Egypt? Is it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out into the wilderness to die? So the issue is not that they didn't believe in God. I mean, they certainly did. And it's not that they didn't believe in Moses. They believed in Moses. There's a guy named Moses. But they did not place faith in either one. The Stone edition of the Chumash translates, and they had faith in Hashem and in Moses, his servant. I think it also has something to do with our text in John 5. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, on whom you have set your hope. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? Let me paraphrase this for you into common English, the way that we talk. It's like he says this. It's not that I, Yeshua, am going to lodge accusations against you in the heavenly court. And that's not the case. Instead, it's Moses, the author of the Torah, who will accuse you, because you have not believed the Torah. If you had believed the Torah, you would believe me. Moses is the one who wrote about me. So if you don't believe what he wrote, it's not surprising that you don't believe the things that I am telling you. That's the gist of the message. Is it a coincidence, then, that this message is followed by a series of stories which seem to allude to Parshat Bo and Beshalach, last week's Torah portion and this week's Torah portion? I don't think so. The Gospel of John goes on to tell a Passover story about Yeshua. It says in John 6:1-3, after this, Yeshua went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a large crowd was following him because they saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Yeshua went up the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. That's John 6. This is not just incidental information. Passover was at hand. It was near. This explains how, in the ensuing story, you can end up with a crowd of 5,000 people showing up. They are probably pilgrims headed for Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Yeshua has them all sit down. He divides 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, feeding the multitude of 5,000. 12 baskets of leftovers remain. The 5 barley loaves represent the five books of the Torah, obviously. The two fish represent the meal of Leviathan in the final redemption, obviously. The 12 baskets represent the 12 tribes of Israel, obviously. And the entire meal alludes to the Passover, when the Master breaks bread and feeds his disciples. So we should think of it symbolically, and I do mean symbolically, as a Passover meal. It's not an actual Passover meal, but it apparently occurs in the weeks before Passover, and it hints toward the significant story of Passover. What happens next? On the seventh day of Passover, the children of Israel cross the sea. Then the Egyptians come after them, the Torah says, and in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and of cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic, clogging their chariot wheels so that they drove heavily. Exodus 14, 24 and 25. What happens next in the Gospel of John? Yeshua sends his disciples in the boat back to Capernaum while he himself slips away to pray. He goes up a hill and he can see them out on the water straining against a contrary wind. Suddenly, the disciples see a man walking on top of the water toward them. In Matthew's version of the story, it says, and in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. What is the fourth watch of the night? This is the last watch before dawn. It corresponds to the words in the Torah portion that say, and in the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down on the Egyptian forces and threw the Egyptian forces into a panic. So in some sense, Yeshua and his disciples are reliving the events of the Passover in these miracles. The miraculous breaking of the bread, which took place, it tells us, when Passover was near, and all the people are seated in groups corresponding to the Seder meal, and then the walking on the water corresponding to the crossing of the Red Sea. In the Gospel of John, these stories are placed here in this order to illustrate Yeshua's words, for if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? He shows himself to be the prophet like Moses, and superior to Moses. Moses went through the water, but our Master went over the top of the water, as it says in Genesis 1, and the Spirit of God hovered over the water. Messiah occupies a level higher than that of Moses. The parallels continue on in John 6, when the crowd finally arrives in Capernaum, and they find Yeshua teaching in the synagogue, and they ask him, Rabbi, how did you get here? And he ignores the question and says, I know why you are looking for me. You want more bread. But instead of looking for physical material bread, you should be looking for the bread that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. So they say, what must we do? Because they want this bread. He says, this is what God wants you to do, that you believe in him whom he has sent. Once again, we are alluding to this story of the crossing of the Red Sea, after which the Torah said, Israel saw the great power of the Lord that he used against the Egyptians, so the people feared the Lord and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. So after the crossing of the Red Sea, the Torah tells the story of the manna from heaven. That's in our Torah portion too, Parshat Beshalach. So in John 6, the teaching of Yeshua continues to begin to speak about the manna. The people respond to his challenge about believing he's the Messiah by saying, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. John 6, 30 and 31. When did they eat the manna? After the crossing of the Red Sea. And in the Gospel of John, this discussion takes place when? Immediately after the story of the crossing of the lake. In this way, the Gospel is hinting towards the Torah to show us that this Yeshua of Nazareth is the one that the Torah spoke of. Toward him, Moses pointed. So, if you believed Moses, you would believe him. Yeshua answers the people asking for manna thusly, "Truly, truly, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Yeshua said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Who said anything about thirsting? The people were asking about bread, not water. But in our Torah portion, what happens after the story of the manna? After the story of the manna, the Torah tells the story of the people thirsting in the wilderness of sin. And they say, "Give us water to drink. Why did you bring us up out of Egypt? To kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst?" And they are so desperate and so agitated that they turn against Moses, and they are ready to stone him to death. Moses prays, "What shall I do with this people? They're almost ready to stone me." Hashem tells him to take his staff and strike a certain rock, and water will flow miraculously from within this rock. And the people drink from the water from the rock for the next 40 years of their wandering in the wilderness. Our Master Yeshua alludes to these stories, the story of the manna, the story of the water from the rock, when he says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst." Of course, he was speaking in spiritual terms. He explains this when he says, and this is the punchline to the whole discussion, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." John 6:40. In the Torah, God was asking Israel to trust Moses as their Redeemer, and to follow him and to obey him. To the extent that they placed their trust in the one whom God had sent, and they were trusting in God. Hashem wanted them to trust Moses and to have faith in Moses because Moses is the one to lead them out of Egypt, to free them from bondage in Egypt, to bring them across the sea, to defeat the Egyptians and redeem them and ultimately lead them into the promised land. So if the people don't believe in Moses, that is to say, if they don't have faith in him, which is evidenced by obedience to him, and by following him, they will not survive Egypt. They will never leave Egypt. They will not cross the sea. They will not receive the manna. They will not drink from the water that flows from the rock. They will not receive the Torah. They will not enter the promised land. But Israel was redeemed because Israel saw the great power that the Lord used against the Egyptians. So the people feared the Lord, and they believed in the Lord and in his servant Moses. In reference to this story about the relationship between Moses and Israel, Yeshua says, "If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you don't believe his writings, how will you believe my words?" And then in John 6, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." John 6:40. So the first Redeemer delivered Israel from Egypt, but the second Redeemer, the Son of Man, he will deliver from death. Moses led the people to the promised land. The second Redeemer offers to lead into the kingdom and the world to come. The task that he lays before the people is merely that they should believe in him and in his words. But don't be misled into thinking that this means that so long as you believe in Jesus, you have fulfilled your obligation. The meaning of believe needs to be understood in the same sense it carries when the Torah says that the people believed in Moses. What did it mean for the people in the wilderness to believe in Moses? Was nothing more required of them than to say, "Moses, I believe in you. Did they ask Moses into their hearts? No, it meant that they believed that Moses was the agent of God, and therefore carried God's authority, which implied obedience to his word, to his words, to his commandments, which, as you know, was the Torah. It implied that they needed to follow Moses wherever he might lead, whether to Mount Sinai or for 40 years in the wilderness. If they turned aside from him, they would surely perish, because only with Moses could they receive the daily manna, and only through Moses could they drink the water from the rock. Without Moses, they were without hope. So to believe meant more than just cognitive assent or simple belief. And that is why I appreciate the Art Scroll translation, which says they had faith in God and in Moses, his servant. This is also the sense in which we should understand believe in the Gospel of John. Faith in the Messiah is like Israel's faith in Moses in the wilderness. As the Apostle Paul puts it, he alluded to this teaching of our Master in 1 Corinthians 10 when he said, "Our fathers were all under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were immersed into Moses in the cloud and the sea, all ate the same spiritual food, all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Mashiach." That rock was the Messiah. To eat from the table of the Master, to drink from the water which, if a person drinks, he will never thirst again, to be immersed into the Messiah. And these are all terms for discipleship, symbols for becoming a part of Yeshua's school of disciples as his followers, those who cling to him like a branch clinging to the vine from which it grows. And so the question needs to be put before us today. Do you believe in Yeshua? If you say, "Yes, I believe he exists." Well, that's not what I'm asking. If you say, "Yes, I believe that Yeshua is the Messiah," that's also not what I'm asking. That would be like saying, "I believe George Washington was the president." The question, "Do you believe in Yeshua?" is, do you believe he is God's agent on earth with divine authority over you, to lead you, to feed you, to command you, to provide for you, to rescue you? Do you agree to trust him? Do you agree to follow him? Do you agree to obey him, to obey his words? For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote of me. But if you do not believe the Torah, how will you believe my words? It's possible to be a religious person without ever really becoming a Yeshua follower, without ever really surrendering your life and your will to the Master Yeshua and saying, "Okay, boss, you are the boss of me." It's like that passage where the Master says, "Why do you call me Master if you do not do what I say?" Just because you attend Beth Emmanuel or wherever you attend, that does not make you a Yeshua follower. Only you can decide to be a disciple, to follow the Master, to be immersed into him, to share in the spiritual bread from heaven, to drink from the living water that flows from the spiritual rock, which is the Messiah, which is the words of the Messiah. And if you will do that, then he promises you, then he will raise you up on the last day and bring you safely into the kingdom and the world to come, just as Moses would bring the children of Israel safely through the wilderness into the land of Canaan. "For it is the will of my Father," he says, "that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." Take on my yoke and learn from me, and find rest for your soul.